I'm back. Well, folks, Doyle brought me an Italian sub sandwich from Arby's, which may not be the best food in the world, but I got to tell you, I have had no breakfast and no lunch, and I was starved. He also brought me a huge Coke and some French fries, and while that may not be the most healthy food in the world, when you're starving, it sure is good. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't have made it if he hadn't brought me something to eat for the rest of the afternoon and evening. Well, you heard the news from BBC. And it certainly was a different viewpoint than the news that you hear normally on the communist news networks in this country. So, like before, the phones are open, 520-333-4578. 520-333-4578. We're interested in your comments, observations. You may have some news to report that we don't know anything about. And if you do, we want to hear from you. And no matter what we're doing or what we're broadcasting, as soon as the phone rings, we will put you directly on the air.
Right now, I sat through a lot of...
Afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
This is Jim from New Jersey.
Or I should say, as good as can be expected.
I have a somewhat different slant on this. I am absolutely outraged at the way the media is treating this.
Good for you. So am I.
We have two of the biggest buildings in the world that were deliberately destroyed by terrorists, and they're just treating it like the big story of the day. If you notice one thing they don't do, they do not interview anybody who is outraged, who is screaming for blood. All they're doing, I just got done watching the ABC News affiliate. They have tips for how to talk to your child about this.
Well, I don't know about the rest of the networks, but CNN is not guilty of that. They've been taking calls. They haven't censored them. One woman called in and told everybody in the country that if you see somebody with a green flag on their porch, you're supposed to go and blow them up.
Amen.
What do you mean, amen?
but what they're doing is, we live in a video world. Watching this is, just like playing a video game. Oh, well, it blew up. My wife's company was on the 90th to the 91st floor.
They have trivialized the whole thing, and they're reporting it as if it's a normal, everyday occurrence, and it doesn't mean anything. I guarantee you at least 10,000 people died in the collapse of just those two buildings.
Yes, you're putting into words what I'm too frustrated to describe. It's almost like we had Hurricane Floyd, or we had a tornado. I'm screaming at my TV set. I mean, these people are absolute—they're automatons.
Yeah, they are, and they don't show any. Here's what really bugs me: they don't show any emotional involvement whatsoever. None of them.
You're absolutely right.
They don't care. They're just sitting in their chair doing their job. They're not affected. It doesn't bother them. They're not emotionally upset. They haven't expressed any kind of anything that I would consider proper for humans to exhibit in the face of such a thing.
They have no patriotic identity. And if you notice, our people are all over the world in over 100 different countries, our troops. And if they do go ahead and declare martial law, which they probably want to do, who are they going to bring in to do it when they run out of National Guardsmen, UN peacekeepers?
Well, of course. Have you ever read the Geneva Convention?
Yes.
You know what it says?
That the UN has the final authority.
No. It says that if any of the signatory countries are experiencing internal unrest, that all of the other signatory countries are obligated to provide military forces to to put down that unrest.
Right. Yeah. It's been a few years. It's coming back to me. I'm just totally outraged, Bill. That you know, we call ourselves Americans, and even the people I work with. We had some auditors in today, and my boss was all worried about them. I said, you know, your country was just attacked, and you're worried about going in here and counting units. I just absolutely cannot fathom that people think it's another news story. The sheep have not only had their country stolen in the past three decades, they're now having it blown up right under their noses, and they don't even give a damn.
This is a product of years of indoctrination by television and Hollywood. How many buildings do you see blown up every time you go to the movie? How many people do you see killed? How many people do you see destroyed? How many people do you see murdered? How many people do you see maimed? How many people do you see just blown away all the time on television and in the theaters, in the movies? So after you've witnessed this hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands of times, after a while it doesn't mean anything.
And how many references did you see to the movie Independence Day?
When?
In the news, they kept bringing up that movie Independence Day, where they blew up the Pentagon or whatever.
When?
But what? When were the references made?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard them this morning several times.
What was the reference to Independence? What's that got to do with the World Trade Center bombings or the Pentagon?
I guess they considered it in the same realm that you have Hollywood showing special effects blowing up the Pentagon or the White House. It's like, yo, people, this is real. This is happening today.
But you know, I still don't understand what that has to do with the movie Independence Day.
I think it's just the fact that they kept bringing up that scene in the movie where it was destroyed, you know, almost trivializing it, comparing what happened today to something Hollywood produced.
I missed that
completely.
I didn't see it. And you're right. If that's what they did, that's exactly what they were doing. Trivializing,
you know, real people died in that building. Real Americans died.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a war over in the Middle East. They came to our soil.
Now wait a minute. Back off with that crap. Who came to our soil? You don't know who did this.
Well, I guess I just have my suspicions, Bill. I'm
now,
sorry.
You still don't know who did it. Maybe I have a suspicion that you did it. Maybe we ought to bomb you. How about that? Just because I got a suspicion that it was you. How about that?
Well,
is that fair?
No, that's
is
not
that
fair,
right?
Bill.
Then stop it right now. Who the hell do you think you are? God, I can't stand it. Who the hell do you all think you are? Who the hell are you? You're not anybody I know. This is not the America I grew up in. Who the hell are you?
In all American interests and to embrace the struggle against Israel.
If there is an attack on Kabul, folks, it can only be coming from the United States of America. I guarantee you that. And it will be because either the United States government believes that Afghanistan and our Osama bin Laden, aided by Afghanistan, is responsible for the attacks in this country. None of us know who's responsible yet. Nobody has told us. Nobody has proven it. Nobody has been tried in court. Nobody's been convicted. All I can tell you is my prediction is coming true. We have now attacked the first country that allows terrorist cells and groups to exist within their borders, and I think there will be more.
Long overdue step, quite apart from his culpability for this crime, or these crimes, I should say, this day of crimes, he is an enemy of this country. He has unleashed attacks against American citizens and property in the past, and there's no doubt, whether he did today's events or not, he would be up to it in the future, and he should be stopped. And those who are...
You've got to muster as wide as possible an international coalition, and you've got...
Now, let me ask you something else, ladies and gentlemen. If the United States government and all of its intelligence agencies had no warning, didn't know that these attacks were going to occur, or who was going to mount these attacks against us, and there are no survivors from the attackers, the people in these planes who actually made these attacks, if there are no survivors, how do they know who did it? how do they determine that they should bomb Afghanistan or anybody else? 520-333-4578. If you have the answer to that question, I would sure like to know it. 520-333-4578. Nobody knew these attacks were going to occur. Nobody knew that anybody was going to do this. Nobody survived from the teams that made the attacks. Why are we bombing Afghanistan if, and I'm asking if because I don't know for sure that we're doing it, if we are in fact doing it? And who are we bombing? The people who planned it, who carried it out, are innocent civilians who live in the city of Kabul. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
How do they know that the planes were hijacked?
Because this is what they tell us. They tell us that some of the passengers or crew members made calls on their cell phones and said that the planes had been hijacked.
I heard that part.
Also, the planes took off from airports with passengers on board, bound for a certain destination, and changed course to the place where they crashed into their targets, which indicates that they would have been hijacked.
Do you know that you're not allowed to make cell phone calls on the plane?
I'm not allowed to do a lot of things that I do every single day. And that's not true because airplanes have cell phones on board that you can make calls from.
Well, they're not cell phones. They're different. It's the airplane.
It doesn't matter. You can still make a call from them. A lot of airplanes have one of those phones in the back of every seat so every passenger can make it.
Yeah, but those don't interfere with the navigation.
Who cares about interfering with the navigation? You asked me how they knew the planes were hijacked. Passengers on board made phone calls.
And what did they report?
They reported that they were on a plane that had been hijacked.
Now what does that mean?
Goodbye. Where did he come from? What do you mean, what does that mean? Either a crew member or a passenger aboard a plane made a phone call to somebody to report that they were on a plane that had been hijacked. What the hell do you think it means, dummy? Where do these people come from? Who is that guy? Please, dear Lord, protect me from the idiots of the world. 520-333-4578 is what does that mean? Oh. I've got to slow down and relax because the repercussions of my recent stroke are now affecting my tongue and my jaw, and it's getting very hard to pronounce words. So I'm going to take a little break. We're going to go back to the mainstream media and see what's going on. I will return any time that you call. I will break in and answer your phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this?
I've said good afternoon. I've also said hello twice. Now, do you want to
talk?
Sorry? Do you want to talk?
I'm having a real hard time hearing you. What?
Well, goodbye. I can't do anything about your phone connection, folks. There's nothing I can do about that. Get a better phone is all I can tell you. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you call, I'm going to answer the phone. If you're there and you want to talk, then please do. But I can't play games with you. If you can't hear me, I don't know what to tell you. Get a better phone connection, something. But we can't play those games with the telephone still. Okay? If I say good afternoon, you're on the air, then you're on the air. Saying hello over and over and over and over and over again won't cut the mustard. Okay, folks, please try to do some cooperation. And if you call in and you can't hear me, then hang up and try another phone. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. William Cooper?
Yes.
Howdy. My name's Dave Mitchell. I can't help but, oh my, it's very terrible what's happening today, of course. There were some things that you had mentioned in some past conversations with some other individuals that had struck, let me turn down this thing, that it struck me as, well, when you had mentioned the idea that maybe the terrorists or whoever they were had infiltrated the airline by smuggling weapons on board at point of entry.
How else could they get on an aircraft and enforce their will upon the crew?
Sure. Well, the thought occurred to me that that employees of the airline could have actually planted the weapons on board these planes in advance of today's attack.
That's pretty hard to do because not just passengers are searched, but airline employees are searched, and the aircraft themselves are searched before anybody's allowed to get on board.
Right.
And for four planes to be able to pull this off is an incredible feat in light of the actual security that exists in all of our airports today.
Exactly, and that's the point I'm making. For four flights to actually be used as a guided missile, and obviously under an organized and obviously planned attack such as this, certainly couldn't be executed by individuals haphazardly attempting to simply board a flight.
No, not at all.
Armed and chance having their plan thwarted.
It's a very complicated plan. The people who carried it out were well trained. They knew exactly what they were doing. Not only did they know what they were doing, but they knew the exact course to fly the plane to hit their target. They were well trained. Everything was coordinated almost, within a few minutes of each other.
Certainly.
And it took a lot of money, lot of effort, a lot of planning, and a lot of time to make this actually happen.
Right. That's why it leads me to believe that possibly guns had actually been planted on the planes in advance.
Well, you may be right, but that's conjecture,
and
none of us can say. And I don't like conjecture anyway, because conjecture is, it's just a bunch of people sitting around. And if we had 100 people call in, we'd have 100 different conjectures. And
certainly.
And what does that mean?
At this point, it really is all conjecture. At this point, true, but who knows? But really, the situation that's occurring here, I'm really speechless. It's bringing tears to my eyes every time I think about it. But again, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about the whole situation, other than pray for everyone and all their families that have been hurt.
Well, you're not alone.
It's really despicable, though, that what I'm hearing about as your conversations continue with other individuals that call in about actually having their coworkers or seeing but people working that really have no conscience or second thought about what's occurring here. It's kind of disturbing that our public has been so desensitized.
Anybody who watches television all the time and goes to the movie regularly is desensitized. None of this means anything to any of them. Period. And that's the truth.
Right.
If you go out and walk around town tonight, you'll see people who are oblivious to the whole, doesn't mean a thing to them.
Now, what you had mentioned earlier about the buildings not being able or not actually being susceptible to...
They're engineered and built intentionally to withstand crashes into the buildings by major commercial airline airplanes.
Right, right. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense how in the world these buildings actually imploded upon themselves, because, I mean, my gosh, if you've watched these demolition crews at work, you see how they go to work and how they strategically place all of the explosives so that that building does fall down,
And these planes did not hit any of the main structural members at the lower levels the buildings. They hit at the upper quarter of the buildings, and, of course, it would affect the structural integrity of those floors. But you'll notice that the structural integrity of the buildings were so sound that where the airplanes actually crashed into the building did not cause the upper levels to collapse into that floor.
Exactly.
So how would it cause the entire building to collapse?
It really doesn't make a lot of sense at this point, does it?
It not only doesn't make a lot of sense, it's absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
The way these buildings are designed, engineered, and built, they are built to withstand, because they know from past history that airplanes run into these high skyscraper buildings.
Well, sure.
And
sure.
So it's engineered into the buildings to withstand the crash of a modern airliner.
Well, yeah, and as they launch this investigation, I would certainly hope, but of course this is probably beyond realism, but I would certainly hope that the investigation would start at home as far as what has actually occurred. But
well, they're already short-circuiting that. Have you noticed that Mayor Giuliani and Governor Pataki of New York State are replacing all of the emergency workers with National Guard troops?
Uh-huh.
And who's better qualified to be on the scene and to work and rescue people and treat people, the National Guard or the fire department, police department, EMTs, medics, and people like that?
Right, right. Couldn't agree with you more.
So what's the purpose of replacing them with the National Guard?
To circumvent any realistic investigation as far as what happened.
Not only that, but to maintain silence, because National Guard members are under military orders and they don't have the protection of the Constitution.
Uh-huh, right.
Once they're activated, they come under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which says, if you're given a direct order to keep your mouth shut, you better do it, or we lock you up forever.
Yep. Yep. Certainly don't need any stories spun about any ATF or CIA involvement.
Discovery of secondary explosions in the building that may not have blown up like they did in Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
And then later denied that they found, although there are hundreds of witnesses that saw and heard and watched them remove secondary explosives of a military type from the Alfred P. Muir Federal Building.
And certainly, and right after that happened, immediately after that building exploded, the media coverage was somewhat uncensored at the time. And a lot of information was leaked out as to what had really had taken place,
mm-hmm.
Along the lines of, you know, as well as like the John Doe's.
Yeah.
And
then when the government took over, the media
washed it.
Reports stabilized and presented only one official explanation and never talked about any of those other things ever again.
Yeah, and of course they certainly cleaned up the wreckage in a heartbeat as well.
They didn't clean it up. They completely destroyed it.
Yeah.
They destroyed all evidence, all wreckage.
Yeah.
Every remnant of the building was demolished, picked up, carried to a site, buried under the ground so you couldn't even get to it if you wanted to, and then they put a fence around it which says United States government property, keep out. If you go into this place, you're subject to so many years of prison and $10,000 fine and so on and so forth.
And then, of course, the blame is directed at private militias.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened. Well, there's the same thing that happened back when Hitler
was in power over there in Germany. He pulled the same thing
and blamed it
on the private militia.
There is no such thing as a private militia.
Right.
Period. The militia consists of the whole of the people, all of us. There's no private militia. Private militia is not a militia, is unlawful, and actually constitutes a gang. So I reject your private militia.
I understand. So I've been watching things on your site and keeping up to date on occurrences and things like that. You seem to be very perceptive and intuitive as far as what's actually happening in the world today. What do you think or expect to come of this as time progresses?
The death of freedom.
Yeah.
The death of freedom.
That's a pretty tough cookie to swallow, but I think you're right.
Most people will have no difficulty swallowing that pill.
Well, yeah.
They will not only welcome it, but if you've been listening to CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, they take calls from people, and people are already asking for it.
Well, the best slave you can have is a slave that doesn't know they're a slave, first of all. Secondly, when you are indoctrinated through our school, government-controlled school system, of course, you aren't enlightened to the freedoms that you are supposed to have guaranteed by the Constitution, but as time has progressed, we've seen these liberties that are entitled to us whittled down to virtually nothing. And on top of that, if people don't know what freedoms they have, then they're certainly not going to miss them when they're gone.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Bill. And it's been a very great pleasure meeting you. I'll keep in tune and keep listening. And my heart, I just would like to say my heart goes out to everyone and all their families that have been affected by this, indirectly or directly. You would think that it would affect everyone of our nation, but unfortunately there's a lot of people out there that just don't register.
They don't get it. Thank you for calling.
Well, got to pray for them too.
Thanks for calling. Pray for everybody, folks, please. Please include all of these people. I've heard so many people call in and say, you know, my heart goes out to all of the family members of these people who died today. Let me sort of straighten that out. My heart goes out to all the people who died, who were wounded, who were maimed or injured, and all of the family members, friends, and relatives, and co-workers and acquaintances of all of those people who are going to be affected by this. And I would ask that we all of us, fervently, I mean fervently and repeatedly, pray for these people and pray for our nation, please, because we need those prayers. And if you have a couple of extra seconds, say a prayer for me, because I need it too. And I always, every night, say a prayer for all of you. So it's reciprocated. Whether you do for me or not, I always do for you every single night. And sometimes during the day, believe it or not. So 520-333-4578 is the number. And anytime you call, we will go directly to your phone call, no matter what we have on the air at that time.
You're missing.
Mr. Barak, you wanted to say something about that?
What happened today just added to the need to have at least a theater and maybe trans-regional missile defense system against rogue countries like Iraq and Iran.
It wouldn't have helped today.
It wouldn't have helped, but this event emphasized that there are certain countries in the world, North Korea, Iraq, Iran, maybe Gaddafi, maybe one or more else.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
I just wanted you to know, I don't know if you heard, that there's explosions and bombs going off in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, we've already talked about that.
Oh, okay.
But that's rumor that's been put out on the news. There has been no official announcement by the government or anyone else. And in fact,
CNN showing scenes from Kabul right now.
They are.
Yeah, burning.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for that input. Appreciate it, folks. If you find out something that we're not airing, give us a clue. We're not monitoring CNN. We're monitoring C-SPAN. So we don't know what's happening on these other networks. When you call in, when I ask you questions, when I'm looking for verification, don't get angry because you know that we don't air rumor on this broadcast. So I'm going to ask you how you know and where you found out about it, and so that we know whether or not your report is legitimate or not. And I have to do that. If it upsets you, I'm sorry, but I have to do that. I have to know if you're, you know, a scam artist just calling in, telling some lie or spreading some rumor or reading off a fax machine, or if you actually saw it on the news and which news you saw it on, and so on and so forth. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cooper.
Yes. Hello.
Tony from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Tony.
I'm talking real loud. I can barely hear you, but just as long as you can hear me, that's what counts.
I can hear you fine.
Good. Here in Cleveland, they seem to have the downtown area pretty much closed off. There is, I can't say a real big emergency the way that the mayor described it. He says, I'm not declaring a martial law or anything of that sort. He says, but he said, I'm going to keep the downtown area clear. Nobody's basically allowed down here unless you have...
That is martial law, my friend. See, he has no authority to do anything like that unless he suspends the normal law, and the normal law says citizens have the freedom to move wherever they want to move. If he restricts their movement, he has, in effect, declared martial law.
Well, yes, I have to agree with that. I have to concur with what you're saying. And the way he put it forth, it's that he was telling the residents here in Cleveland that, is pretty much stay in your house. Don't go anywhere. And matter of fact, the Cleveland Public Schools are closed tomorrow. All the Catholic schools are closed tomorrow. The government buildings downtown were all closed up. The state offices were closed up. The governor, Governor Taft, was on TV giving his condolences to everybody involved, directly involved, the ones that were killed. He wanted us to give support to Red Cross. Commendable things that all Americans should be doing right now, offering prayers for our country as well as those Americans who are lost. They have been pointing fingers. I have the TV on right now, Channel 8 here in Cleveland, and they're showing that I can't even pronounce this guy's name, I'm so ticked off, but they're implicating him. Some folks at work today were all irate.
Are you talking about Osama bin Laden?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And some folks at work today were irate. They said, well, we should go over there and bomb them. I said, well, you don't know they are the ones responsible.
Yeah, how do any of these people know who did it?
Well, where we are at work...
How does the government know who did it if they didn't know that it was coming or who planned it or that it was going to happen and nobody survived... amongst the attackers.
Exactly. I guess you might say it's another form of mind control through the idiot box where they put these little bits and pieces of misinformation out there that gets the wheels in the heads of the people moving around.
Well, we don't even know if it's misinformation. Osama bin Laden may be responsible.
Or
maybe one of the people that's responding. There might be a lot of people responding. But the fact that I'm trying to get across is that nobody knows that.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right.
And if Osama bin Laden is the one who did it, why are they bombing innocent civilians, men, women, and children in the capital city of Afghanistan?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is, especially after they condemned whoever did this in this country for killing innocent civilians, men, women, and children.
Of course, it doesn't
apply to us, does it? We can do whatever we want. Because we can go over there and bomb anybody we want. We can kill innocent men, women, and children who didn't have anything to do about it, didn't know anything about it, didn't care about it, would never in their wildest dreams have ever done such a thing. But if it's true that we're bombing the capital city of Kabul, that's exactly what we're doing. We are murdering men, women, and children who had nothing to do with this attack.
Well, that's correct, and
even if they're—I
mean, gee, look what they did in Bosnia, for God's sakes! Over there, where they bombed churches and killed women and children, and set a precedence where they can go into a sovereign nation, irregardless whether or not it was communist or not. That man Milosevic was elected by those people, and if they wanted to stop a genocide of sort, like the Clinton administration claimed, then why in God's name did they go to Africa, where they had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people being butchered and murdered?
Millions of people. We're talking Rwanda. How come they allowed the genocide to occur in Rwanda, where millions of people were murdered, and instead we go to Bosnia and bomb that whole country because some people are, you know, supposedly being displaced from their homes?
Well, you know, another interesting thing is I haven't, there's a lot of interesting things, but when the mayor gave his announcement, and I'm taping all this stuff, like our forefather said, for posterity, you know, history, and, but when I watch this mayor, as well as the governor, and as well as a news clip that I had seen earlier this morning on CNN of our president, I didn't see any great emotion in these people.
No.
I mean, to the extent that, hey, you attacked us, whoever this was. And I didn't see, the way I would be, I would probably be pounding the podium. And I probably wouldn't be overly irate to the point where I'd look like a madman, but I would be justified in my...
They claim that this is their professional demeanor. But I say this, whether they're professional or not, whether this is their occupation and their profession or not, whether it's the way they make their living or not, you cannot help but be affected by this. And you couldn't help but say some of the things that I've said and other people have said during their broadcast that makes you a human being and connects you with the terrible tragedy that has happened to all these. But these people, you watch them, and it's like they're reporting that, you know, last Sunday there was a Girl Scout picnic in Central Park.
Yes, this is what I'm referring to. I understand what you're saying about the professionalness of their office and so on and so forth and how to act properly, but in this great magnitude of a disaster, there is just like you're saying, it's like they're reporting something that's a common everyday occurrence, and the people are desensitized by the...
Yeah. Not only the people, but those people. I mean, how could they get on the air and present the persona that they're presenting, which shows that they're not emotionally or mentally affected by what's happened at all, in any way, in any manner, unless they're totally desensitized and have no feelings about it whatsoever? Because even if it's their profession, I mean, their emotions have to show through.
Well, it's almost as they were expecting it, or it's an orchestrated event. But, you know, wasn't there allegedly five planes?
Well, listen to me. Don't pay any attention to all these rumors. We've heard that there was five, we've heard that there was six, we've heard that there was seven, we've heard that there was eight.
Okay,
but only four planes are accounted for.
This end of the country, we were told that... Of course, I haven't had access to the CNN stuff because I don't have cable. It was available to me at work today when I had seen it. But
only four planes have been accounted for, period.
Supposedly, there was a plane on the tarmac at Cleveland Hopkins Airport that the FBI was investigating. They had the people come off and...
They may have investigated it, but it was not a terrorist plane. It was not involved in any attack. I'm sure these things are going on all over the place. Don't listen to rumors.
No, it's just being...
There was four, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, it's something that I dreaded. I knew something would possibly happen in the future just from research that I have done from the past incidents, and I was dreading this day, and my daughter called me. She said, "Dad, what do you make of this?" And I said, "You're getting closer to the implementation full-tilt boogie of the New World Order in this country."
Yep, that's right.
And like I've been telling the kids, I says, "Read, read, read." I says, "I may not be right all the time." I says, but you know, you could read may find that what you're reading is wrong, but you're not going to find that out until you read something else and documented things and so on and so forth. And they're starting to think a little bit about this. And it's a shame that you can't let children be children. But I want them to be aware,
mm-hmm.
because when I'm gone,
the future belongs to them.
Yes, correct.
Therefore, they must know what their future is going to be.
You know, and some of these guys at work and the women, they think I was nuts when I started talking to them about this stuff. And a couple of them came into my department where I was at, and they had a couple of them had a funny look on their face, and they said, "You know what, Tony, you know, you must have known something because, you know, what happened?" And I said, "Well, I gave you information to read. I told you what to look for. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know nothing, really. But I feel like I know more than the average guy out there, and I feel that's a shame. You know, I was coming home the other day, walking my son home from school. I had a day off. We ran into a couple kids from another school on the other side of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
A Japanese motorcycle went up a street with a real sharp, ear-piercing exhaust. I put my finger in my ears, and I looked down at one of the kids, and I said, "Boy," I said, "that thing will hurt your ears." And he says, "Oh," he says, "you must be one of them Harley riders." And I says, "Yeah, you know, I have one." He said, "You ride an American bike, huh?" And I said, "Yeah." I says, "Actually, mine's an older one." I says, "It doesn't have all the foreign stuff on it like the new ones do." He says, "Well," he says, "America?" I said, "Yeah, America." I says, "You're an American, I'm an American. It don't make any difference what color you are. We're all Americans." And he looked at me real funny and puzzled. Now, by this time, four of his buddies were walking up the street and leaving him there with me, as I had stopped in front of our house and continued our conversation. And he looked at me and said, "Well, that's from California." I said, "California is in America." And he looked at him. He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes." At that, he ran up to, he looked, turned around, he looked at me, he says, "Thanks, mister." And he ran up the street and he's telling his buddies, he said, "I just learned something. That man back there told me we was Americans." And my son's 10 years old. He looked at me, shook his head. And I couldn't believe it. Now, this young boy looked to be about 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And in all sincerity, he didn't know he lived in America. And it was beyond sad. It was pathetic. And I could not believe this. I just, you know, and this is what our children, well, not mine anyway, but a lot of them out there have no perception of where they live.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, that's true. It's like somebody comes up to me and says, you know, "I'm an African American," or "I'm a Polish American," or "I'm an Irish American." And I say, "Fine, go back to Africa, go back to Poland, go back to Ireland." Because eyes, you're either an American who came or whose ancestors came from those places, but it's an absolute impossibility to be an African American, an Irish American, or a Polish American. You're either an American, or as far as I'm concerned, you're a subversive son of a bitch, and get out
Correct.
Of my way.
Correct. I know I stopped on the way home to get a couple packs of cigarettes, and I talked to a black fella that needed a light. So I gave him a light, and he looked at me, shook his head. He said, "Well, man," he said, "what do you think?" And I said, "I'll tell you what I think." And we stood there for about a half an hour, and I told him. And I touched on the same subject that you just mentioned. Now, when my grandfather came over here from Hungary, and in 1889, he knew what was going on over there in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted his family to be free. And he came here to this country, settled in Cleveland in a neighborhood that was predominantly Hungarian, dissent.
And the most important thing to him was to eventually be accepted as an American.
Exactly. You know
now
what?
There's people in this country,
because
they don't
want
to be an American. They want to separate themselves and be a Polish American,
yeah,
or an Irish American,
well, people used
or
to
a Russian American, or an African American. And it's all baloney.
People would ask him when they heard his accent, and they said, John, what are you, Hungarian? He says, no, I'm an American.
Good.
I'm an American. I come here from Hungary, I bring my family here, and I raise them here. He says, I'm an American citizen.
Good for him.
And, this is part of the Hegelian dialectic, divide and conquer.
Yep, I would have liked him a lot.
Well, he worked till he was 74 years old, till the company found out how old he was, and he said, John, you got to retire. He said, what am I going to do now?
I can guarantee you I would have liked him an awful lot.
He passed on when he was 86, and he had a stroke while he was shaving. And my uncles are all in the military, and my kid brothers are still are. And, you know, we have it's amazing that some of the people in this country, and I'm directing all this to the people that are listening in this country that have ancestors that go way back in this country before my ancestors were here, who have, or so they say, more of a claim here than I do, but they don't have an inkling of what it's like to want that freedom and to taste it, like my grandfather did, like my father, and like I do. And by God, I'm not getting hauled off to no internment camp, and they're not taking my house, and they're not taking me, because I know what's in store.